I'm Mary Angish, and you're Charlie Nardozzi. Hello, hello.
Hello. I was going to say good morning, and I thought, no. Don't say that, because one of them plays in the afternoon. Okay. Take two.
Take two. I'm Mary Angish, you're Charlie Nardozzi. Hello.
Hi there, Mary.
Folks love to feed birds over the winter. I'm one of them. One of my favorite things is just to see all the different birds that can come to the porch or to the feeder. But I understand there's a ton of other ways to really help support birds over the winter in our area, and you have some really cool ideas.
Yeah, thanks. So certainly there's lots of great information out there with the Audubon Society and our own Bridget Butler as far as how to feed birds and take care of birds, but I wanted to weigh in more from the horticultural angle of them. Certainly if you're feeding birds like you are, Mary, you want to make sure you have a variety of different feeders with a variety of different kinds of seed and suet that you're putting out for them. You want to make sure that they're in a place where squirrels and cats can't get at the birds or the seed for that matter, and also putting something up in the window so that the birds don't go crashing into your window as they get a little bit confused. So there's a lot more information about that that you can find, but let's talk more about the habitat itself. So if you're in an area where you have some old trees, you want to leave them there, the snag trees. Not only are they good nesting sites, they also house a lot of insects that birds can feed on. The same is true of brush piles. Leave some brush piles in the forest or around the edge of your property so that the birds can hide and also find some insects that are in there. Try to have a water source year-round, especially through the winter, whether it be a heated bird bath or a little stream or a little pond or something that's going to stay open so that they have a chance to actually drink some water that are there. And then leave some of the plants that we've been growing all summer long. We talk a lot about this, leaving the echinacea and the rudbeckias for those seed heads there that they can feed on. Sunflowers are another one you want to leave. And ornamental grasses. Grow some native ornamental grasses that'll have a lot of seed heads that they can feed on. And then finally, you want to emphasize berries from native plants. So things like the nannyberry viburnum, the aronias, the gray dogwoods, some of the hollies, the winter berries. Those are really great plants that have nice berries on them that are loaded with not only calories, but a lot more fat than the exotic plants like the buckthorns, for example, the berries on those plants would have. So having a variety of those around too. And then there are native vines like the Virginia creeper and the trumpet honeysuckle that actually produce berries that are great for birds because the vines are up in the air. They can be hiding in the vines, eating the berries. All these things, what they'll do is they'll create a beautiful habitat so that your birds will come back year after year, or they'll be able to spend the winter with you and you can enjoy them.
Ah, very cool ideas. Dale has a question about some leeks that they grew, and they also shared a photograph. I'll put that on the website at vermontpublic.org. But Dale writes, I've grown leeks for many years. This year, I started them from seed. Our leeks have a pest that's tunneling into them. This is the second year that I've seen this particular pest. I'm not putting any leek waste into our compost, so the pest won't survive and multiply in the compost pile. But Dale writes, my question is, how do I combat this pest problem?
Yeah, you probably have the leek moth, and I actually have it too in our gardens as well. And this is a moth that lays an egg. Egg turns into a little green caterpillar, very similar to the cabbage worm, and it just kind of tunnels down, and it'll attack leeks and garlic and onions. I tend to not have so much a problem on garlic and onions because, of course, we're harvesting those in early July, mid-July a lot of times, so it's before the generation really builds up and you get a lot of pressure. But the leeks themselves, of course, they go all season, and we're still harvesting leeks from our garden even now. So you do need to protect them somehow. And the best way to do that is to grow anything in the allium family under some kind of cover. And I use a micro mesh. It's kind of like a window screen material. Cover them over. Keep it sealed nicely. They don't need pollination or any of that. So you can water through it. You can see what's going on. The plants will grow well, and you'll keep the leek moth from laying its egg. If you can't do that or don't want to do that, you could spray Bacillus thuringiensis, the same organic spray that you use for the cabbage worms. You spray it right down into the center of the leek plant, and that should kill the little caterpillar in there.
Okay. Questions for Charlie about your garden or overwintering sorts of things, then send them to us, gardening@vermontpublic.org. And then listen to this wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary. And I'll be seeing you in the garden.